Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, hello, and welcome back to the Forza Italian Football Podcast. We are back for another season. It is our 10th consecutive season of doing this podcast. We've had some changes along the way, but not too many coming this season, at least on the podcast anyway. I am your host, Connor Clancy, returning again, and joining me is the old man, Kevin Pogorzelski. Kev, are you okay with the concept of YouTube now? Do you need me to explain that to you?
I'm fine with the concept of YouTube, but you youngsters calling it YT. It's a little confusing.
I'm not sure if that's a youngster's thing, but it's definitely common parlance in our Slack conversations. And given we've done the pod together for the guts of a year now, you should really know better. But anyway, Vito Doria sadly can't be here with us as he's working down in Australia to make money to come to Europe with us next month. But I am joined by Vieri Capretta. Vieri, it's good to speak to you.
Yeah, it's. I mean, I'm not Vito. I'll try my best, though, to so that we don't miss him too much, and here we are.
You will be a more calming presence, I'm sure, than Vito Doria, especially if Sampdoria or Genoa become the topic of conversation. But Vieri, please try and battle on with me. I know it's late in the or early in the morning for you as well as it is me, so let's try and get through this without falling asleep.
Yeah, we'll do what we can. As long as we talk about interesting things, we'll be all right.
Well, what could be more interesting than a new season of Serie A? Vieri, and on that note, let's start with the least interesting thing of all. Juventus, the 1,100 times in a row they've won it now. They're going to win it again this year, probably. Vieri, am I being too pessimistic before a ball has even been kicked, or is it Juventus's to lose again?
I think 100% it is Juventus's to lose, aside from the new coach. They might want to try and win it playing a different style of football. You know, we've been talking about it all summer. But with the players and the squad they've got and the additions, I just don't see them even battling with anyone for the title. I see a very similar situation as last season where everything would be over by February, March.
Do you really think it's going to be that early? Because I know it has been basically every season except for the season before last. And Kev, they've brought in Mathis De Ligt, they've brought in Aaron Ramsey, they've brought in Adrian Rabiot, they've got Maurizio Sarri on the bench. It's going to be difficult, again, for anyone to even get close to them, isn't it?
It is, yeah. I think like the last two or three seasons, it's out of hope more than expectation that anybody else will come through and steal the league title off of them.
Yeah, well, Napoli did finish 11 points short of them last year, and it's probably between them and Inter to finish second this year. But Juve then, Vieri, last season when they lost that first leg against Atletico Madrid, a lot of people were saying that, oh, their season's a failure if they don't win the Champions League. And the fact is, last year they won the Scudetto, but they didn't win the Coppa Italia or anything else. So if Juve just do that again this year, have they failed?
It's obviously impossible to call it a failure when you do win the title. But I think there's an expectation there with the Champions League and with the investment and the money spent. There's no way you can consider it, you know, anything special. It's not a failure, but it's not...
It's not a failure, but it's not a success either.
Yeah, exactly. It doesn't stand out at all.
No, not at all. Not at all. It's just become the norm from Kev. Predictions for Juve this season? Champions?
Yeah, probably. I don't think they'll get close in Europe, though. Again, I think maybe they're over-focusing on that. And that's probably my slight hope that they might take their ball off the ball even in the league.
Even if they do, will it be enough?
It depends if Napoli or potentially Inter can push them as close as Napoli did two seasons ago. And if Juve are in the latter stages and it seems to be increasing in importance for them, the Champions League, and whether that would tip the balance in somebody else's favour. But somebody else has got to go the distance with them first.
Yeah, and you could just see the other guys taking points off each other in Juve. Just about doing enough by beating everybody else and even taking draws from the teams up with them. So I guess there's not going to be any argument here about who's going to win Serie A this season, which is quite a deflating note to start the season on. But anyway, second place last year were Napoli. They haven't done all that much this summer, Vieri, but is that the best way for them to go about things?
100%. I mean, they've showed last season that the transition from Sarri to Ancelotti has been positive. And I think even the performances in Europe have shown that the team has reached a level of coherence, cohesion, that is that of a top European team. I don't see them fighting for the Scudetto, but I could see them coming second or third comfortably and having a very good European run. And that's because they have the same coach, the same bulk of players. They know each other. They know what the coach wants. And I don't think there's any other team in Italy, aside from obviously Juventus, perhaps Inter, that are at that level.
What do you think, Kev? Are Napoli second best again this year? Will it be closer between them and Inter? Can they challenge Juventus?
I think it will be closer between them and Inter. I don't know. I think it was probably more important for them not to lose anybody, because they haven't really brought anybody in significant to improve the squad. Although after Fabian Ruiz's performances in the Spanish side over the summer, maybe he can kick on again another level. But I kind of have them in my own mind as dropping below Inter this year, into third. But, you know, it's going to be close.
Yeah, well, I did that last year. I thought Napoli were going to fall off under Ancelotti, and they just didn't. So I can't see it happening to them this year. I think the transitions at Inter will kind of help Napoli in that they'll still be trying to find their feet for much of the first half of the season, whereas Napoli just know what they're doing. It's going to be business as usual. They've not lost the players that we thought they might lose, and it's just going to be more of the same from them. Inter is quite an interesting case, Kev, I'll stick with you on this, because Antonio Conte's come in. They've signed pretty well, and we'll talk about Icardi in just a few minutes. But Conte's Inter, how are they going to look?
Yeah, I think the Conte factor is a huge one. And it's not just what they've brought in this year as well. It's what they've managed to get out. I think moving on Nainggolan and Perisic has been important when you've got Nicola Barella coming in to sort of really hopefully be the fulcrum of that midfield. That's what just gives me so much expectation that they'll have a proper run at it. I can't see, I know you say about Inter having to sort of build into the season, but I can't see Conte letting them do that, knowing how fast a start Juventus are likely to make.
It did happen when he was at Chelsea as well, though. He went to Chelsea and it didn't all go to plan for him early on, and then they ended up coming good and winning the league. I'm not so sure it'll have the same end result here, though. But Vieri, are you fancying Inter to do anything other than be Inter this coming season?
Oh, 100%. I think I agree with Kev. Conte is a huge factor. First of all, what it represents to bring in a coach of that level away from the Premier League back to Italy in a rival side to what he's been for all his career. So Juventus, that just shows the ambition, I think, of the owners. And the other big signing, Lukaku, obviously this one on the pitch, shows that Inter are trying to get to that level that is Juventus, of being able to go to Manchester United, take out 70 million euros and buy their centre forward, which a couple of years back would have been absolutely insane to even think about. So that shows the direction Inter are going into. And with Conte, I agree with Kev, I don't think there's going to be that much of a transition. I do fancy Inter coming second instead of Napoli. I think it's going to be close, but I think they can do that. Obviously, winning the league like Conte did in his first season at Juventus and in his first season as Chelsea is feels impossible right now. But if Juve are very distracted in the Champions League, then perhaps they could even have a shot at that.
Yeah, I keep falling into what I have decided as a trap of thinking, oh, maybe Inter can compete, Inter can compete. But then they've brought in Lukaku for huge, huge money. But they haven't actually strengthened or improved their attack, because Icardi's not going to play, whether he stays or not. Perisic is gone. So in terms of the attacking end of the pitch, they're no better off than they were.
Well, you say that, but don't forget that Conte, for me at least, is such a good coach tactically that you need to find the right men for him rather than proven superstars. So perhaps having Sensi and Barella will be better than having other midfielders. I mean, I think the prime example for Conte is what he did with that Euro 2016 Italy squad. You know, he almost beat the world champions Germany with players like Parolo and De Sciglio, who for me are just not, traditionally speaking, at the top level of any previous Azzurri side. Yet he did that. So I think Lukaku perhaps is more what he needs compared to Icardi, who perhaps overall is a better finisher. So don't forget, Conte is really, really key to anything we say about Inter.
Yeah, I take your point about that Italy Euro side, but it's probably easier to do that in a knockout cup competition, right? But rather than trying to get a team to perform above their level for 38 games across the season while also trying to compete in Europe as well. I don't know, there's something inside me that doesn't allow me to get overly excited about anything Inter do. Kev, am I being overly pessimistic about them? Because when I look at it on the surface...
I think you're being slightly overly pessimistic. I think we're probably all stuck in that position where we've seen Inter do this so many times over probably my three decades, where they've looked at big money signings and things and just fell away. But I think we're doing a disservice to Conte, thinking, you know, almost associating him with the Juventus that we have now, you know, that go out and sign the likes of Cristiano Ronaldo. Because when he first put that Juventus side together, the first title we won there, you know, that's now that defence that we associate with Barzagli, Chiellini, Bonucci. They weren't unknowns, but you know, he helped put that side together and actually build what is the Juventus that we've got, all empowering side from Turin. And not saying he's going to necessarily do that at Inter, but I think we can give him credit for that. They'll be ready to go from the very off this year.
I think that.
Can I just jump in on this? Let's not forget that Juve's side had come seventh 2 years in a row, and nobody would have thought that they could win the league, given AC Milan had Ibrahimovic back in 2011, 2012. So he's proven that he can get a side that is average to win titles. Even what he did at Chelsea, I think, was quite impressive, considering, you know, some of the other sides in the Premier League. Watch out for Conte, that's all I'm saying.
Yeah, well, whatever happens with Inter this year, I don't think Conte is going to be the problem. I think there will be other issues that probably expose themselves. But I do want to give them some positivity because they've signed one of my favourite players in Serie A in the last couple of seasons, in Nicolò Barella. And I think he's going to be such an important player for them this year and probably for Italy as well in the next tournament cycles. But Vieri, you will have watched Barella play quite a few times. How big of a player can he be for Inter?
He's a beast. I mean, perhaps he doesn't have the quality most top midfielders in Europe have. And I think that's fine, given that Inter needed more of a player that can really be box to box and side to side. He's just everywhere. And he does raise the bar compared to the midfielders that were there before. Perhaps they spent a bit too much money on him, given he was a Cagliari player, but he's proven himself as a Serie A regular starter. And I think, as you said, he's got that experience with the national team as well. He is one of the key midfielders for the Azzurri and will probably be in the years to come. And I'm just so curious to see how he develops under Conte.
It's going to be interesting because if there's one flaw in his game, it's his discipline for me. And you would imagine that Conte will just kind of beat that into him. So hopefully, if he can keep himself in check, he'll have a really, really good season for them there. Atalanta finished third last season. Actually, before we go to Atalanta, it's easy to forget that Inter brought in Diego Godin this summer because that signing was kind of done before the end of last season. But he's going to add an awful lot to their backline, Kev.
Yeah, I think that's kind of why I'm not too concerned about the lack of attacking options, as you were mentioning earlier. I think they'll be so resolute in defence that Conte will do as he did with Italy, as Vieri was saying, and just get so much out of the attack, you know, make the best of the sum of his parts. And Godin's going to play a massive role in organising them a little bit more season.
All right, we can move on to Atalanta now. They finished third last year. They're in the Champions League this season. It's not going to be easy for them, is it? They're going to have to balance European football, well, Champions League football and Serie A every other weekend.
I saw your prediction.
Yeah, while not having strengthened the squad all that much, they've brought in a couple of players. So Luis Muriel will be a good signing, you would imagine, for a bit anyway. Martin Skrtel's come in at the back, and Ruslan Malinovsky, I'm going to have to learn how to say his name correctly, has also come in, and he looks very, very technically good. But I don't know what to think of how things are going to unfold in Bergamo this year. Vieri, have you any thoughts?
Well, I think the names you mentioned of the players that have come in show that there is ambition in trying to replicate a similar Serie A season to the past three, in which Atalanta came fourth, I think seventh or sixth, and then fourth again. And that just shows that, you know, that's regular European football. And I think there is no problem in being Atalanta as it is now. Just enjoy the moment, because really there's no pressure whatsoever compared to the other teams we've been talking about so far. You can have a good run in the Champions League, an average run. Just make the most of it, because this is history in the making. I think that's going to be Atalanta's strength, aside from all the tactical knowledge of Gasperini, the quality of some of the players. It's the fact that they can really be history in the making right now and just enjoy it as much as possible. So I do think that Atalanta could be quite a surprise, actually, this season in Serie A. Perhaps not, you know, a top four finish, fifth or sixth, be there again, keep that regular European spot. And at the same time, you know, I think everyone's going to have a tough time against them in the Champions League.
I agree with that. I think everything's good in Bergamo right now, because there aren't those expectations that you associate with clubs who have finished in the top four two of the last 3 years. But it's good. Everything's good. And I did the season preview, as Kev alluded to, for Atalanta this season. And I've predicted them to finish sixth. And I was kind of going between fifth and sixth for a fair amount of time before I settled for sixth. And that would be a very, very good season. If Atalanta finished sixth, even got third in their Champions League group phase or group and went into the Europa League, that would be an incredible season for them. I think everything looks pretty, pretty good there. Kev, I think the best business they've done this year isn't anyone they've signed, but it's the fact that they've kept hold of players. And Antonio Pacassi came out and said that they've turned down bids this year that previously they could never have dreamt of turning down. You would imagine he's talking about players like Duván Zapata there. But they did bring in Martin Skrtel, who is a player you will know very, very well. And he's someone that, as happy as I am that he's signed and he's come in to offer that level of experience and what have you, he's not the type of defender I think Atalanta need, because he can be a little bit headless, as can Palomino and Masiello.
I think he can, but he'll provide a lot of a goal scoring threat, particularly if you're, you know, under the cosh for parts of the game and you're going to be relying on some set pieces maybe, or, you know, late goals in games. He, I predict, will be as much of a cult hero as you see Mr. Alves in Parma. And I don't think he got the credit that he deserved at Liverpool. I think with the size of the club, you've got a lot of, if you call it your online fan base as opposed to your match going Reds. And, you know, and he's a very fit lad. He was often the solid, dependable player where you had an ageing Carragher and an injury-prone Danny Agger. I think the fans in Bergamo will be extremely pleased by the end of the season as to what he'll have brought to the team.
It's already happening. He did score, obviously, in a friendly win over Monza today. It was 9-1. Big, powerful header. And I was speaking about his arrival to someone this week, and I think that's so important because Atalanta have always had a centre-back who scores goals in this Gasperini system. It was Caldara first, and then it was Gianluca Mancini, and Andrea Masiello did it a bit in the interim season. So someone who can cause a bit of a threat going forward from set pieces is much, much needed there. And he's already becoming a bit of a cult hero because he's following the Martin Darun line. Darun was interviewed in his first spell at Atalanta, walking around the Gialta and Bergamo, and he said that, "I try to be a nice guy, but on the pitch, I get a sudden urge to step on someone's toe and make their life miserable." And Skrtel, one of the first things he said at Atalanta was, "I always try to be a really nice guy, very pleasant to come across, but definitely not on the football pitch." And the fans are already kind of enamoured by him just because of that. So I do think you're right. He will become something of a cult hero. You'll see his name on the back of a lot of Atalanta shirts around Bergamo, I would imagine. Vieri, Luis Muriel, is he going to be happy to come in and be second choice to Duván Zapata?
Well, if he's there and he signed the contract, then he's already happy, isn't he? I mean, there's going to be plenty of space, I think, for him to show his talent. Great signing in the sense that I think Atalanta didn't really have that kind of player, because Iličić and Papu have the same kind of quality, but perhaps aren't as quick and don't have the same pace on the counter. And that's a good option to play differently as well for Gasperini. So I do think we'll see a lot of Muriel. And if he's got the right mindset, we'll see a lot of good things from him as well.
Yeah, that's always the thing with him, though, isn't it? It's if he's got the right mindset. Hopefully he does. Like you say, there are going to be plenty of minutes going around this season. I'm quite excited to watch the guy whose name I'm really struggling to pronounce as well. He looks very, very good in preseason and technically quite good. And he gives that extra option. He looks like he could play in Papu's role if he needs a rest, which he undoubtedly will at points this year. Anyway, we can move on from Atalanta now to the team who won't be playing Champions League football at the San Siro this season. It's AC Milan. It's been an interesting summer in that not as much as you might have expected to happen has happened. Vieri, am I right in saying that?
I think, you know, watch out. We said watch out for Conte and Inter, but watch out for AC Milan as well, because they could be quite a surprise. I think some of the signings have been slightly under the radar, a bit underrated. I really like Bennacer and Krunic. I think they're two quality midfielders. And let's not forget, they'll have Piontek from day one. So, again, I don't see them really making it in a top four finish, although they could be fighting for it till the very end. But I do see them, you know, showing good football, and that's a trademark of Giampaolo, and being quite an exciting side this season for me.
Yeah, I think this Milan thing, as it always does, has the potential to blow up and be terribly funny for everyone watching, but not so enjoyable for Milan. But it could just go so right. I really rate Giampaolo as a coach. Kev, how do you think it's going to go for him this year?
Yeah, I'm quite excited. Vito was very sort of full of praise of him at Sampdoria last year, and I didn't really see a great deal of Samp at Time Live. But the players that Milan have brought in are relatively unknown to me from a viewing perspective over the last couple of years. So I don't, it just, it almost, you're looking at it on fresh eyes. And I think if Giampaolo can bring a bit of the playing style that he did have at Samp last year, it would just be fun to watch, because maybe that's because they're relative unknowns, or low key, if you like, then there'll be a little less burden on their shoulders.
Yeah, you say that, but then I guess playing at the San Siro in front of however many thousand they get in, things change and people lose sight of where they started, I suppose, and the expectations just return, especially if they do get a little bit of a run. Vieri, you mentioned the two boys coming in from Empoli. Is there not a bit of a risk in that they've signed two players from Empoli who didn't exactly light up Serie A last season?
It's true. I mean, they got relegated. But there are four or five players from that Empoli side that I think are potentially very, very useful for any Serie A side, apart from perhaps, you know, the top two or three. And Benacer, Krunic and Traore, the three midfielders, are definitely in there. The other one is, you know, the right back Di Lorenzo, who's now at Napoli. Striker Caputo, who's now at Sassuolo. The problem with Empoli was the rest of the squad, and the fact that they brought in Iachini and things didn't go quite as planned. But for Milan to have these kind of players, Krunic, you know, is a midfielder that does everything quite well. And I think they haven't really got anyone like him fully. Kessié was meant to be that kind of player, but hasn't really always completely proven his worth, or at least what was expected of him from Atalanta. And I think Benacer is a very, very solid regista. And, you know, the same thing can be said about Biglia. But again, Biglia, there were really high expectations. He didn't show the qualities that we saw at Lazio, and perhaps Benacer could be that man. And I think in a Giampaolo team, you really need someone like Torreira was a couple of years ago in that Pirlo position. And I think they went and bought players who, for the amount of money that they cost, could be extremely useful and a very big surprise, I think, for me.
Yeah, you would hope so. Bakayoko is a player who they might miss, but I'm really hoping
maybe
that.
Not.
No, I think they will, you know. I think he offered them quite a lot last season. But I really hope that Mattia Caldara can find some consistent fitness this season and get back to the player that he showed himself to be, or that he showed himself capable of becoming while he was at Atalanta, because he's a really talented player. And the same goes for Andrea Conti. He's really suffered since leaving, but it would be nice to see him find some form, because he could do very well going forward in a Marco Giampaolo side. Kev, have you any more to say about Milan?
No, I don't think so. I'm going to leave it there and wait to see what they give us.
Well, I'm going to ask you a specific question about Milan. Okay. Christoph Piontek, how's he going to do?
See, that was probably my one concern, is that if the others feel that there is little burden on them or expectation on them, whether the lack of other striking options, and, you know, Cutrone's gone, and if he's playing through the middle, whether we might see him buckle under the pressure this year, because as impressive as he was at both Genoa and Milan last year, it was, you know, his first season, and a poor run of form can maybe ruin someone so young under the San Siro lights.
Yeah, well, you've seen it before, haven't you, with countless players at countless other clubs. But it's going to be interesting to watch what happens with Piontek this year. Vieri, do you think he's going to be able to replicate last season's form?
Yeah, I do think so. I do think so because he's a finisher fundamentally. So it doesn't matter too much what the rest of the team does. So I think Giampaolo's style will have to affect more of the way Milan defend and attack as a team. But what Piontek does is score goals. I know he hasn't scored any so far in the preseason, but I do think he's not going to be an issue for AC Milan. As Kev said, perhaps not having other striking options could be quite an issue because, you know, Cutrone is a proven goal scorer in Serie A, and having him coming off the bench is always you know, that extra that Milan did have before another option. And right now, unless something comes in the last couple of days of the transfer window, AC Milan could simply just not have many options up front.
Yeah, that could be a concern for them as well, especially with the guys they usually have playing behind the striker, because they're not always the most reliable. But bank on Suso being amazing until December and then doing absolutely nothing between January and May, because that's what he does. He's Suso. Anyway, one of the Roman clubs. Kev, take your pick.
Let's start with Roma. Okay. Got rid of Robin Olsen. Or at least they've got Paulo Lopez in anyway.
They have, haven't they? How are you feeling about that?
I'm really confident over Roma. And it wasn't until probably a week or so ago when I actually had a proper, you know, you get back into the swing of the football seasons upon us. And last season's transfer window appeared a little bit like, I don't know, you have a season on Football Manager where you don't have any money, so you go and round up a load of free agents. I know obviously they paid some money for people, but it just felt a bit misdirected. And this year, Diawara and Vertu seem like really solid signings to improve the midfield.
Solid how? Because Diawara is promising, right? I'll take that. But he hasn't actually convinced yet at a club like Roma.
Okay, from the perspective, look at what Nzonzi gave them last year. You know, there were some of those players that really didn't perform for Roma, and they just look a little bit more, you know... I suppose more the defence. They've just signed Zappacosta this evening, haven't they? They've tied that deal up. And you've got Manolas is gone, but you've got Mancini in.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
It just looks more... a structured approach to, you know, starting from the back, solving those problems with the defence where they lost too many goals last year.
Yeah, I'm quite concerned for them, you know, but I know they've lost Robin Olsen, so that gives them a much better base to build upon to begin with. But Gianluca Mancini is a good defender, but he's still learning. And if he was playing beside Manolas, I'd be a lot more confident in him. But now that Manolas is gone, he's going to have that extra weight of expectation on him, and he's going to be playing probably not in a back three. So it's not going to be the same Gianluca Mancini that we saw with Atalanta. And Leonardo Spinazzola is obviously quite a sound player if he can get back to the bits that he showed with Juve last year when he was trusted to play. Zappa Costa, I'm not completely sold by. Diawara still has some work to do to convince me. And Jordan Vera too. I think he's slightly overrated. Fieri, you'll obviously have watched him quite a little bit more than most of us, but Veretout's obviously got ability, right? He was quite clearly noticed in his absence whenever he didn't play for Fiorentina. But this was a Fiorentina team who was, in your own words, a bit of a mess last season.
A bit. I think he's the only one that can be considered a midfielder in last year's Fiorentina squad. I rate Veretout quite highly, and I think he's the kind of player Roma perhaps needed, because I do understand what Kev is saying about a very structured approach to the transfer window, but let's not forget that a lot of the starting players are still going to be players like Cristante that was brought in last year. And the problem with buying players from Atalanta is that you see them play under Gasperini and they're amazing, and then you see them play in another team and they're not quite the same. I think that's not going to happen with Veretout, because he was playing in quite a bad side. So I think what you see is what you get, and he's going to play at the same level for Roma. So you say a box-to-box midfielder that does score a fair amount of goals. Nothing amazing, but he'll get the job done. Cristante last season is nowhere near as close as Cristante 2 years ago. And Mancini, we'll have to see, as you mentioned, if he's going to be at the level of the Mancini we saw last year at Atalanta. So I think Roma overall will have to find the right balance between the players that they brought in last summer and the ones they brought in this summer. I still don't think they've done enough in the transfer window to be a threat more than a top six finish, perhaps.
I'm inclined to agree with that. You know, I have them finishing about seventh this year, but I don't really know what to expect from Paolo Fonseca at Roma this year. So it's going to be interesting. But Lazio, I have them getting into the top four. Kev, thoughts?
I'm a little surprised about that. Maybe I haven't paid enough attention to them pre-season. Lazzari's obviously an interesting sign, and that should give them a bit more creativity. I suppose a lot of it rests on whether Milinkovic-Savic has a up and down season like he did last year. I mean, more was expected of him last season, and at times he didn't deliver. And even Luis Alberto at times wasn't up to maybe the standards that he set himself when he first joined Lazio. I think it'll be difficult for them to break into the top four.
I'm not even sure it's a case of them breaking in, because if you look at last season's top four, Atalanta probably won't do it again. So you've got Juve, Napoli, Inter. And then for me, it's if you look at the teams that are there, you've got Milan, Roma.
I completely agree with you. It's incredible. It's literally the same reason I was giving to people when I put down my Serie A predictions. Honestly, who can be better than Lazio?
Yeah,
that's thing. You have a team that was fourth, well, basically fourth 2 years ago. It's the same 11 for three seasons, same coach, same formation. Obviously, it's down to the individuals to perform, and not like last season, you know, until February, Milinkovic-Savic was basically non-existent. But if they all do what they have to do, they're better for me than Roma, Milan, who have changed their coaches. It might take some time. I can see them, as you said, in a top four.
Completely. Do you think that causes a bit of a problem, though? You know, they've got this consistency, you know, they trust in their teammates, and they know what everybody needs to do. And they also look at what's beyond them on paper, and they think, well, you know, we should really walk to fourth place or third place, and then that just breeds a little bit of complacency.
Well, I think it's what the problem they've had last season, which was kind of covered up by winning the Coppa Italia. But if they keep focused, there's not that many teams that have that consistency. And they've always been quite good against the small teams, which is usually the difference in points at the end of the season, is making sure you get the points that you should get against the smaller teams. I do get your point, but honestly speaking, there's not that many, you know, if Atalanta lose a bit of energy in the Champions League, I don't think Torino are up for it. Mm. They don't have a lot of real rivals.
Yeah, I suppose last year, actually, I'm forgetting that they dropped so many points against the teams above them. And that's where, you know, like you say, if they're picking up the points against everybody else, if they can improve their performances and take points off of their direct rivals for those Champions League spots, then they'll kick on a little bit further this year.
And if Jerome Immobile can find his shooting boots again, they should be comfortably getting into the top four. I'm looking at the rest of the teams. While we've got you, yeah, Fiorentina are going to be fun this year. They've brought in Frank Ribery. They've brought in the Prince. Are they just not going to bother getting their players to defend this year? Is that the approach?
Well, if you've got Vincenzo Montella on the bench, you're basically not caring about defending at all.
How are they going to set up, though, on a serious note?
It's difficult to tell still. Don't forget that Fiorentina have started bringing in players quite late on, and the transfer window is still open. I mean, I think we're going to see probably Sotil starting up front against Napoli, Pulgar and Badel in the middle. So two new signings, Boateng as the centre forward, Lirola in the back line as well. I think the positive is that Milenkovic and Pizzella, the two centre backs, are the same. And that obviously you still have Federico Chiesa, who is the man who really makes a difference. But what's exciting for Fiorentina is you've changed the owner, and he's brought in the likes of Boateng and Ribery, who are just really exciting players, even if they end up being useless on the pitch. It's still, you know, the attention you get from the media, it's a bit of electricity, a bit of a spark that just Fiorentina and the fans absolutely needed after a couple of seasons in which it was just, everything was just mediocre and just boring in a way. And I think that's the main thing. That's just the excitement. And I don't think we're going to have great results on the pitch. I can see Fiorentina, you know, finish 10th perhaps. So I don't see them in Europe, but it's a difference. Something is happening compared to the last couple of years of the Della Valle brothers. So it's a start. It's a start.
Yeah, for sure. I think Pulgar is an amazing signing. I really like him. And I think if you're going to be playing with these attacking players, he's quite a useful guy to have in there as well, because he's not shy of a tackle and he can also get involved going forward as well. Quite good from penalties. But are you excited for this Fiorentina season?
I am, because as I said, it's everything's, you know, you need to consider where you're coming from. And Fiorentina in the last years was just, there was no reason as a fan to sit down and watch the game. And I think a lot of Fiorentina fans have showed it in the last couple of years by protesting week in, week out against the ownership. And now there's a new guy. Well, let's see what happens. You know, it's as simple as that. Sometimes you just need change to get some excitement going. And this could end up being worse than before. But, you know, let's not forget that the Della Valle brothers had Fiorentina for 17 seasons and did not win a trophy. Not a single Coppa Italia, nothing. And there's been some great moments and some really bad moments, but it was time for change. It happened. And signing someone like Ribery means, hey, we're here. Hello. Look at us. We're Fiorentina. We still can sign, you know, certain type of player, even if it's just a name. And the excitement is, you know, fresh new start, fresh new page, and let's see what happens.
Okay, perfect. Right, what we're going to do now is move through the rest of the team very, very quickly. I'm going to say a club's name, one of your names, and you're going to give me a sentence on that club. Vieri, Torino.
Watch out for Torino, because I can see them in the top five.
I said this too in one of my little, one of the preview things that's going up. I quite agree with that. Kev, Sampdoria.
I think they've sold too much. Pratt gone, Anderson gone. I think they might struggle.
You hate Fabio Quagliarella as well, don't forget. Vieri, Bologna.
Bologna, I think, will have a very comfortable season and calmly finish in the top 12 positions.
Okay. Sassuolo, Kev?
Possibly challenging for Europe this year.
Ooh, that's big. Why?
I did the preview for this, and I just thought, you know, they were very entertaining last year. We spoke about it a couple of times on the pods, but they just drew too many games. I think they only drew 16. Most other than that was Fiorentina with 17. I think if they can finally convert some of those into wins, they could be challenging.
Who's going to be the person to convert them into wins?
Caputo. Well, it's tightening up at the back as much as it is scoring them at the other end. I think they need to work out what was going wrong last year at times.
Okay, fair point. Udinese, Vieri, sorry.
Relegation, full stop.
We're agreeing on a lot more than we ever have before today.
Yeah, it's incredible. I think they should have been relegated last season.
And the year before.
And perhaps the year before as well. And somehow they've managed to survive. And I don't, with Brescia signing Balotelli, I don't see them being able to make it this time around.
I think that this season's key, well, maybe not quite as bad, but this is the year where they finally go. I'll take Spal and Parma, given that I'm going to go to most of their games. Spal are probably going to do okay, but I think it might be difficult to start with. Their summer transfer business hasn't been very good. They've basically just continued down the line of signing ex-Atalanta players in Marco D'Alessandro and Edri Parisha, and Arkadiusz Reka looks like he's going to go there too. So I think they'll probably finish 13th-ish again. Parma, I think they've done quite well this summer. Bobby English is back. They've brought in a couple. They've brought in a guy from Atalanta, Kulju. I can't think of his name, but he's going to be very, 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 very good. And they've also got Andreas Cornelius, who I think could probably do a job for them up top. But let's go Kev, Cagliari. No Barella.
No, it'd be interesting to see how Nainggolan does back there. And Nandez from Boca, who's getting plenty of praise. I think they'll be same for last year, really. I don't see them being threat of relegation.
Thankfully, Vito Doria is not here. Vieri, Genoa.
Genoa is, I think they'll be doing better than last season, and that's not very difficult, as they almost got relegated. But Andrazzoli is an exciting manager, and having Schürrle in the middle is a huge signing for a team like Genoa. I mean, this guy was on the verge of a Champions League final only a couple of months ago. So I think they'll be quite a surprise, and they'll comfortably finish mid-table.
Okay. The new boys then. Kev, Brescia, Ballo's back.
That is possibly been the most excited I've been about going to Italy again this year.
Really?
It's either going to implode, you know, and I hope it doesn't, because he was a talented youth and really hasn't done the best of his talent. But I think they out of the three could be the ones that stay up if he gets his head settled and right, and you've got Tonali behind him.
You've got a real soft spot for Balotelli, just like I do, and that's why I love you. Vieri, who do you want? Go with Hellas Verona.
Hellas Verona, I mean, compared to the other ones, their fans could try and make a difference in the home games, but you read the names of the squad, and I don't think any of them are Serie A level, so I really don't see them staying up.
They've got Pato eyes, mate. They'll be all right. No, I think they're probably going to finish bottom. Kev, Lecce.
Well, I had Lecce finishing bottom, but I think they'll be thereabouts with Hellas Verona. Neither of them, like you say, you just look at the squads, and I didn't see a lot of them last year. They don't look strong enough.
Be quite a shame as well, because it's nice to have a representative from Puglia up in Serie A. But anyway, all right, let's get your top four predictions. Vieri.
Juventus, Inter, Napoli, Lazio.
I'm going with Juventus, Napoli, Inter, Lazio. Kev?
I'm going to be hopeful and go Inter Juventus. Napoli. Well, let's go Lazio. Vieri convinced me.
Have you not put in your predictions yet to the site?
Yeah, but they keep moving. So they're like, they've written them on notepad, but things keep moving.
Okay. Bottom three, Kev?
Hellas, Lecce, and Udinese, actually. I think they will be the ones that will drop this year.
All right, same for me and Vieri, full house.
Udinese, Hellas, and Lecce.
Perfect. Top goal scorer, Vieri?
No idea. Lukaku.
Do you know what? It's very difficult. I just went for Cristiano Ronaldo because why not? Kev?
Who's Icardi going to be playing for?
Nobody. He's going to be sitting on the bench.
probably Ronaldo, unless Quagliarella proves me wrong.
Oh, I'd love nothing.
Which he won't.
Oh, there it is. All right, Fabio, step up. Player to watch, Kev?
Tonelli at Brescia.
Ah, okay, good shout. Mine is Dejan Kulusevski, who is on loan from Atalanta at Parma, and I'm happy to watch him every week. Vieri?
Kevin Prince Boateng at Fiorentina.
The correct answer.
He's always fun.
He's great. You've got to interview him this year, by the way. You just have to.
We'll see. Try our best. That's our aim.
Yeah, for sure. Okay. And lastly, Vieri, one thing you want to see this season?
I'd like to see a title race, let's be honest. I'd like to see not that much of a difference between first, second and third, as we saw last year. Basically, Juventus and Napoli stopped playing in February because they were just so comfortable in their positions. So what I'd like to see is something like we saw a couple of years ago, when two or three teams until the very end fighting for the top three spots.
Okay. I mean, it seems quite reasonable. Kev?
Yeah, not wanting to echo what Vieri says, but maybe a more even split across the league as well. We had a bit of a relegation battle last year, but yeah, just an evening out of the balance of Serie A would be nice.
Yeah, I think everyone on the site says a title race every season. I want another surprise team, so maybe not to the extent of Atalanta, but I'd like to see someone like Torino or Sampdoria get involved seriously in the European conversation. Samp, come on, it's your year. It's your time. But okay, guys, that'll do it. We will be recording the podcast on Monday evenings going forward for the coming season. Gives us a little bit more time to think about what's happened over the weekend, and importantly, to actually get home from games and not be stuck in train stations in Ferrara all night long. So I'll take part of the blame for that for the later recordings. But yeah, we'll be doing that. So we will be back with you all very, very soon, because this is coming out on a Thursday or something. So I have nothing else to say. Vieri, thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Kev, thank you.
My pleasure.
I will speak to you on Monday, I hope.
You should do.
Okay, right. Thanks for listening. Speak to you all soon. We love you. Goodbye. I
free, and I just can't get enough, and I just can't get enough. You're like an angel.
Softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hi. This is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.